Are you guys ready to be here? Awesome. All right, are we ready? Rolling in 5, 4, 3. From Suite 103 Portal Road in the heart of Papillion, Nebraska, it's The Student Show with Peter Vogel. Tonight's guests, Leslie Polinski, Travis Carson, Jordy Persinger, and featuring their legendary Reality Students Band. And here he is, Peter Vogel!
Thanks for being here. I'm your host, Peter Vogel, and man, do we have a great show for you. That's right, The Student Show is coming in live. You excited to be here? Man, we are too. Moody, how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing well. Today's a good day. And you're looking very suave and debonair in that suit there.
Thank you. I really like your purple jacket too.
It's lilac.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, how's your finger? I know.
It's doing much better. It's less wrapped than usual, so.
Less wrapped? But I thought you liked a little more wrap, like a.
In West Philadelphia, I was born and raised on the playground.
We got a show to do.
That's right. Real quick, tomorrow, don't miss it, we're going to have J.J. Abrams coming on the show talking about a new flick, Star Wars.
And I also heard Lance Birch is going to be stopping by.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about what it's like to work one day a week. And kind of like what he likes to do in the meantime, underwater basket weaving. He plays trumpet in a mariachi band.
Yeah.
And we all know he prays for his Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they need all the prayer they can get. But for today's show, we have Leslie Polinski here today. Travis Carson's also stopping by too. And Jordy Persinger is also going to be here on the show too. We're also going to be celebrating baptism, which is the first for our show, so that's going to be exciting.
Be a good day. It's going to be a good show.
Very good show. But for our first guest, she's a mother of 2.5.
2.5?
She has one coming.
Oh, one on the way. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She says she's been called the girl you wish you didn't start a conversation with at the party. And I know how that feeling is. And she can bend her toes backwards. Give it for Leslie Polinski, everybody.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome, Leslie.
Hey, thanks.
Of course. Now, I know you have one of those faces that everyone knows around here, but who are you?
Thanks, yeah. Who am I? Sometimes I don't know the answer to that. No, I'm just kidding. I am Leslie, as you said, and I'm the Reality Kids Director, and that is our ministry for babies through fourth grade.
Wow, that's a big age range, babies through fourth grade. How does that work out?
Well, we actually separate the ministry into two separate groups. So we have babies through five-year-olds, and that is our preschool ministry, and it's called First Look. It's when kids are getting their first look at who God is, who Jesus is, and what role he wants to play in their lives. And then we have our elementary from kindergarten through fourth grade, and that ministry is called 252.
252? That's a very interesting name for student ministry.
It is.
Did they pick it themselves?
Great question. No, they did not pick it themselves. It actually comes from Luke 2:52, yeah, which says, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all the people. So when the kids leave the elementary school phase, we want them to leave with more foundational truths as well as some life application, some of which is, I need to make the wise choice, I can trust God no matter what, and I need to treat others the way that I would like to be treated.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I didn't write it.
So with so many kids and age ranges, what's the goal? What does your team call a win?
A win. Well, there's a lot. I think one of our goals is to make it through a Sunday morning. If we can do that, we're doing really good. No, oh, I'm yeah. kidding. We have awesome volunteers. We always make it through. But no, one of our goals for Reality Kids, I would say, is to build a lasting faith in the kids. We know that the time that we have with the kids in Reality Kids is so minimal in comparison to the time that they have with their parents at home or at school or all the other places that they are. So our influence here is small. So we try to optimize that influence by connecting church and home and try to engage the kids through their parents as well. So
now, isn't the whole point of Reality Kids is for the parents to bring their crazy, disobedient, but adorable kids, and then 60 minutes later, you've turned them into little Jesuses?
That's why I take my kid.
Oh, does it work for you?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. No, I mean, that would be amazing, but that's not what we do. What we do is we actually try our best to, like I said, build that foundation of faith in the kids. And we get to be people of influence in the kids' lives, but that could never replace mom and dad, grandparent, guardian, whoever it is that's leading the child in that faith. And we are just here to do whatever we can do to lift that family up, encourage them, and again, just create those connections between church and home to hopefully give the kids that foundation that they need to go through the rest of the phases.
Yeah, that's so good. But there's so many misconceptions about youth ministry and kids ministry. So what do you want people to know about Reality Kids?
About Reality Kids. I think first, wiping snotty noses is not that bad. If you just do it a couple times, you get used to it. No, I'm kidding. No, I think some people think that the volunteer staff in Reality Kids are just babysitters. They're just giving the parents a chance to sit in the sermon uninterrupted. And that is a perk to what we do, and it's definitely valid, but that's so small in what we do. We do so much more than that with the kids. We are instilling truths into them that we can build upon, that when they move up and go into storm and chaos and then on to surge, like I said, building those foundational truths about our faith as the kids move up. And then I think also people need to know that we don't want just anybody back there. We want people who are passionate about kids and who have caught the vision of our children's ministry and really just the vision of our church, focus, risk, and impact. And we really believe that if we miss the vision, then we've just completely missed the point. So.
Well, I know you brought a clip with us to show you what happens on a Sunday morning.
I did.
Can we play it?
I would love to.
Let's do it.
We talk a lot about the phases kids go through. Each phase is uniquely important, a time frame in a kid's life when you can leverage distinctive opportunities to influence their future. Reality Kids gets to be a part of these phases from babies through fourth grade. That's a lot of crucial years. New parents are familiar with the phase when nobody sleeps, everybody smells, and one mesmerizing baby convinces you, I need you now. This phase can be a difficult one. Mom and dad may feel exhausted and overwhelmed by the lack of sleep and high demand on their attention and time. We work to create a safe, comfortable, engaging place for parents to bring their little ones, allowing parents a time of rest and spiritual rejuvenation, and little ones a chance to explore and begin to build relationships with caring adults.
As tiring as those days are, they're gone before you know it, and soon you embark on a phase when anything can be imagined, everything can be a game, and one curious preschooler wants to know, why? It's during these years we want every child to understand the basic truths that God made me, God loves me, and Jesus wants to be my friend forever. The elementary years come before you know it and cycle through the early elementary phase when unfiltered words make you laugh, homework makes you cry, and life becomes a stage where your kid shouts, "Look at me!" The mid-elementary phase when fairness matters most, differences get noticed, and your enthusiastic kid thinks anything sounds like fun. And the upper elementary phase, when friends are best friends, games are for competition, and your confident kid will insist, "I've got this." It's fascinating how many adults can still vividly remember these phases for themselves. It allows us to empathize with our kids as they go through their phases. Throughout these years, we want to continue instilling truths and disciplines into the kids that they can take with them as they continue through their journey.
Oh, look. Little people are here.
My microphone fell off. So this is our preschool group, and they are going to sing a song for you guys.
Let's hear it. Woo!
Introduce to you now our warehouse reality kids crew. This is our worship team that the kids get to experience every single Sunday in the warehouse under the direction of Krista Bydeck. Woo!
Hello, good morning. Like she said, my name is Krista Bydeck, and I get to worship with the warehouse kids every week. So we want to invite you to go ahead and stand up and sing with us. And if there are any warehouse kids out there, we want to ask you to come, and you can come stand up here in front of us so that you can see us and you've got some space to dance.
Your love, Jesus, there's nothing like your love. And I can't stop my lips from singing, I can't stop my voice from shouting about your love. It's everything I ever wanted. Jesus, you're better than the best thing. Your love is making my heart sing. Nothing could ever separate me from you. Your grace, there's nothing like your grace, Jesus. Like your grace. And I can't stop my lips from singing, I can't stop my voice from shouting about your love. It's everything I ever wanted. Jesus, you're better than the best thing. Your love is making my heart sing. Nothing could ever separate me from you.
Kaylin and Claire with Krista. And Morgan Dickey's also on the Reality Kids crew too. Good job. Thank you guys so much.
Well, Leslie, I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks,
Leslie,
for having me.
Let's see everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've all been told by a friend, you need to read this book. But there are plenty of books out there that you should stay away at all costs. I promise these are real books, but I don't think you should go on Amazon or go to the library and check them out, okay? This is my do not read list.
Whatever you do, don't read these books! Yeah!
All right, so this first one has been a hot topic lately. People always ask, what does the Bible say about this? Like politicians and nutrition and stand your ground, the biblical foundation for self-defense.
Finally, there's a book about that.
I've been saying we always need to know what the Bible says about self-defense.
Correct, and I feel like that cover just screams America. I mean, there's a gun, a Bible, the American flag, in a creepy ghost-like figure of my grandma.
Yeah. Can we get a closer look at that?
Yeah, I think she needs to read the Bible a little bit more and not go out looking like that. It's not safe.
Yeah, no, okay. Moving on. So, our next book, you got any furry friend lovers out there? A few, okay, fine. You don't like animals, I understand, you know. So there's a book out there that you should stay away at all costs, okay? This is just, it's good, okay? Does God ever speak through cats?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, he does speak through cats?
Wait, I don't know, I haven't read it yet.
I guess I'm confused about the question. I thought, like, spiders and cats only came around after Adam and Eve committed the first sin.
Yeah, I think Adam and Eve's sin, cats and spiders came in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, it makes sense. So I think the short answer is no.
Yeah, okay. Moving on. Any single ladies out there?
Oh, the single ladies, oh, the single ladies, oh, the single ladies, throw your hands up. Sorry.
Continuing, okay, so if you're dating this guy and he seems a little off, no matter what, do not go to this book for advice, okay? How to tell if your boyfriend's the Antichrist. And if he is, should you break up with him?
Yikes. That's deep stuff right there.
Yeah, do we need a book to tell us this?
I'm not going to say anything more. I'm good. I may regret things I say about that one.
Yeah. Oh, we're moving on. Yeah. Okay. So the end times. End times has always been a fascinating subject to talk about. I remember sitting in Sunday church and flipping to the back of the book of Revelations and reading about dragons and fire.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy stuff. Well, this book, I feel like it has some misleading, if not outdated, information. 88 Reasons Why the Rapture's in 1988.
Peter? Were you born yet?
No. I guess I was born after the rapture.
So I guess you missed it. And then, did they have a sequel back in 89?
I couldn't find one.
Did it? Because I know the 89th reason.
Yeah.
We were wrong last year.
Okay, finally. People always question and wonder, what does Bible have to say about this, or how would Christ react to this?
Like self-defense and grandma's carrying guns, right?
Exactly. Okay, sweet. Well, we have a book entitled to the question you've never asked. The Bible Cure for Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
Irritable Bowel Syndrome?
Yeah, it's like this crazy
thing. Hey, no, if you've read it, that's on you. I don't think we should go into any more detail about that one.
Okay, no. Well, moving on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for our Do Not Read list. We'll be back after this message.
So there are a lot of social networking apps out there. And if you're anything like us, you have to create an entirely separate account just for your beard. Well, now you don't have to. Beardzilla is the number one beard-centric social network in the world. Get live updates on all of your beard's activity. Meet up with other beards in your community and filter them by beard type. Get in-depth analysis of your beard's growth and health. And why not set a beard goal while you're at it?
Okay, so our next guest for today is a former Dance Dance Revolution champion.
DDR!
Yeah. Says he's into retro arcade games. I don't really know what that is. I missed the rapture, so I guess okay. He also says he has more hair than 4 out of 5 pastors. Give it up for Travis Carson, ladies and gentlemen.
Travis Carson, what? 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 Travis Carson, what?
David, is that a Jerry Seinfeld tie you got?
No,
there?
Jerry Garcia.
Okay, that's a... All right, whatever.
Well, welcome, Travis.
Hey, man, what's up?
Not much, just working here.
Okay, thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, no problem. So you're a student pastor here, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And the groups you work hands-on are Storm and Chaos, correct?
Yeah, Storm is our ministry to 5th and 6th grade students, and Chaos our ministry to junior high students.
Wow, those are some interesting names. Storm, Chaos, why?
That is the question, isn't it?
It is.
Actually, you know, they started a long time ago as some really cool acronyms, which we've kind of moved away from a little bit, but we kept the names because, I mean, what better way to describe, I mean, what middle school years are like? You know, I mean, stormy and chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was a parent was up one time. She was a mother, and she was up for Chaos, and she was just looking around, and she said, "This is Chaos? You picked a good name for it." Like, yeah. The kids just everywhere, and the hormones are kicking in.
They're crazy,
just
going all over the place. Yeah. So with youth ministry, that means you get to play a lot of dodgeball, eat pizza, and tell kids about Jesus, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the stereotype of it, too. And I think some people are like, oh, yeah, you just come in, you tell them about Jesus, and they all believe. Kind of like what people think with reality kids. They come out as mini Jesuses. Yeah. That's a word. I don't know. But there's a lot more to it. Actually, we brought a little video clip along just kind of show you what a night of storm and chaos looks like.
Well, let's play the clip.
Middle school years are crazy. Kids at this age are all over the place in their growth and development. As leaders, we ask ourselves, what was I like as a fifth grader? Where was I at mentally? What was I like emotionally in sixth grade? What was my faith like? What was my relationship with God like as a junior high student? There's so much going on in their lives. And for the first time, we see them taking ownership of their faith. It's during these years that we have a unique opportunity. It's for the first time that they're able to start to grasp these really abstract ideas of grace, of faith, of unconditional love, of what it means to be forgiven. For parents, this is the phase when nothing that you do is cool, where everything is fun in a crowd, and one smart kid will keep reminding you, yeah, I know. The phase where there's never enough groceries, too many hormones, and a dramatic kid needs someone to prove, I care. Every week could be the week when a student understands God's love for the first time. They have so many questions, and we've created an environment where it's safe to ask questions. And sometimes we have to answer with, I don't know. We've made a place where they can go and open up and wrestle with their doubts, an environment where God is invited in a big way. But here's the thing, we can't transform anyone. Only God can. But what we can do is provide an environment where life change happens.
Yeah. Man, That just looks amazing, so awesome. I'd want to do something like that.
You should stop by sometime, Peter. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think we could find a place to fit you in there.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know, he's already there, but no. but every church kind of does it a little bit differently. Just their approach to ministry. We really put a huge emphasis on relational ministry. You know, in an average night, the kids come in, we're gonna have some social time, and we play some games. And I'll get a friend, I'll give a message, but I keep those messages pretty short. And, we try to make it real plug-and-play stuff that they can apply right into their lives. Why is this relevant to a, seventh grade girl in 2015? But the real heartbeat of our ministries are small groups. And if you've been coming to Reality Church for a while, you've probably heard people say that this isn't a church that has life groups. We're a church of life groups. And the same is true for our student ministries. Most of the night that we spend in Storm and Chaos is spent in those small groups. So we have these amazing leaders that are really, you know, pouring into these kids. They're doing for their few what we can't do, what I can't do for all the kids who come in.
Yeah, which is very good, very good. So you have all these students coming every week. What's the biggest and one thing you want them to know?
Just one thing?
Yeah,
one thing I want them to know. Well, you know, some of these kids, like, I've known them for a long time. You know, I've known some of these kids since they're in third grade, and you get to see them, you know, grow up, and there's a certain part of it that always makes me kind of sad, you know, it's like with your own kids. But, you know, you see these kids going through stuff in their life. They are hurt. We know that you know, some of these kids have been abused. We know some of these kids have a hard time trusting. You know, what does it mean to be loved by a Heavenly Father? And if I could pick one thing, I would just want every kid to know that they are deeply loved, that they are deeply cherished, that every one of these kids is uniquely made, that God does not make accidents, that every single one of them is made with a purpose, for a purpose, and on purpose. You know, I want them to get this, that God is real, that heaven and hell are real, and that eternity is forever.
Travis,
okay, if we got
you
that,
know then, I only asked for one thing.
Sorry, I kind of got preachy, didn't I? No. But think about it, though. But if we got this, if everyone in this room got this, that heaven and hell are real, eternity is forever, it would change the way that we lived every single day of our lives. If we looked at every one of these kids as a uniquely made, uniquely known individual who's loved by God, who will exist for eternity, it's going to change the way that we approach student ministry.
It really would. But how do you find people that want to spend their already busy times with middle-aged kids?
Middle-aged kids? They're middle school kids.
Middle school kids.
Some of the leaders.
You know what I'm saying.
We're kind of like middle-aged kids, I guess, but...
not really the same thing, but moving on, okay? But, people would say they're kind of flaky and just always staring at their phones, texting their buddies, and someone's just say lazy.
Yeah, you know, some might say that about, you know, that middle school age. Again, middle school is kind of a loose term I use for 5th through 8th grade. But if you even come here like on an average Sunday, you're going to see, you know, one of our 7th grade guys, Ben Matthews, out there holding the door, or Aubrey will be back making coffee, or Morgan's going to be back, you know, helping lead worship in the warehouse. I mean, we have other kids that are helping in, you know, holding babies and stuff like that. These kids are so plugged in. So I wouldn't say that these kids, we have a hard time finding people, really. Actually, one of our small groups, we have a story that we wanted to share about one of our small group leaders, Tricia, and I don't really want to say too much. We can take a look at this and we'll talk about it after. That's cool?
Yeah. All right.
I'm Tricia Peralta. I am a 4th grade teacher in South Omaha. The kids from South Omaha are very different than the kids from here in Papillion just because of the demographics. Their home lives are very different. So for example, I have a student, her name is Angelina. For her to go home on the weekend, there is zero food. When I talked to her about it, she explained to me that when most kids go home, they eat on the weekend. She said, I go home and maybe I'll eat, depends. She said it's like a week-to-week basis, not sure if she'll have food for the next meal. So that's always tough to hear coming from 4th graders. My biggest fear for my kids is their home lives, because they need that food, they need that support, but ultimately they need Christ. They need a loving family. If I step away from that, then I don't know who will be there for them, and so on a daily basis it's hard to go every day to see that, to hear the stories, to read their writing, to hear what they go through. It's extremely hard, but at the same time I know that if I'm not there, then I don't know who's going to be there for them. This year in Chaos and Storm, they're kind of like adopting my classroom. So what they're doing is every week they bring in canned food or individual packets of like macaroni and cheese, things that kids are able to make on their own, so that parents aren't having to be involved if that's a situation where they don't have a parent. It's something kids can do on their own. So every week they bring in as many items as they can find and buy with their own money. I think it's really shown them like the way that Christ was so willing to give to everyone, and he didn't care who they were or if he knew them. And these kids have really taken that on, like not knowing a group of fourth graders, but yet they're willing to give up, to sacrifice their money for someone else, which is exactly what Christ would have done in the situation. He would have dropped everything and gave everything he could, and that's exactly what I see the kids doing, and it's really awesome to see them see that that's something that they want to do. I think if we could step into that community and really show those kids the love of Christ, like they want to hear it, they want to see it, and as a teacher it's hard because you can't say it. You can show it, but you can't say it. So for us to be able to step in as a community, as a church, and show them the love of Christ and being able to tell them the true meaning of what all this means, why we're doing this for them, I think that would be the biggest thing we could do for the community and for those kids.
Yeah.
Man, that's just, gosh, that's just so good. Yeah. That's amazing.
And that's, you know, that's one story of one of our small group leaders, Trisha. The thing that you didn't hear there in the story, too, her small group of girls, you know, this is how we're teaching generosity. One of the ways we're trying to teach generosity this year to our students. And we encourage them, again, to bring in, you know, food, not to steal it from their parents' cabinets, but to go out and spend their own money. Like a cup of noodles is 28 cents, but that's a meal for a kid. And her small group saying, well, we don't have any money. We want to put on this bake sale to try to raise some money for it. And in 1 week, they raised enough. They went out and they bought 282 meals for these kids. Yeah,
that's wow.
And that's, again, for a junior high kid, just learning, you know, generosity, learning just unconditional love, it's huge. It's life-changing. And well, so without people like Trisha, we couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on our show today. Ladies and gentlemen, Travis Carson, everybody.
Thanks. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, so today is Sunday, and usually I catch up on my thank you notes on Sunday, but I have the show today, so is it all right if I do that right now? Morgan, can I get some thank you notes music? Thank you, oddly located toilet seat in the warehouse. Your true purpose continues to mystify us all.
How do you even use that?
I don't know, stilts maybe?
Stilts, okay.
Thank you, boys at junior high camp, for challenging my views on hygiene and showing me that technically, mouthwash is the exact same as brushing your teeth.
Something I've learned is never take hygiene advice from a junior high boy.
Gross. Thank you, Dodgeball, for having a built-in honing device that activates every time I throw you. Even if I throw you in the opposite direction, you fly straight and true to a fifth grade girl's face. I'm sorry. So sorry.
I've done that. It's not pretty.
Yeah.
Then the tears and the ugly cry comes and it's not good.
It's terrible. Thank you, patient mother, for understanding why your child came home from youth group with a free haircut. We've discovered a deep and profound truth. Hair does in fact stick to duct tape.
And again, we apologize to Claire Kahn for that.
We apologize. I'm sorry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have for thank you notes. Here's what's up next.
Hi, everybody. I'm Emma Barnes, and we are so glad you chose to spend your Sunday with us. It is our prayer that you had a meaningful encounter with God and the people of Reality Church today. Here are some announcements to help you know what's coming up next. There are many ways for you to stay connected to what's going on here at Reality. Visit our website at reality.church, subscribe to our Vimeo channel online, and you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Last year, Reality Church donated almost 400 shoeboxes to Operation Christmas Child and made a huge impact. Our goal this year is 600 boxes, and you can be a part of making a difference in the world. Free boxes and instructions will be available to pick up in the lobby beginning next week. Thank you to the many families who have come on board and signed up for online giving. Your gifts and your participation are helping Reality Church make an eternal impact. This convenient giving option is available on our church website at reality.church. Just click the Give tab. When you participate, you can view your giving history at any time just by logging in. If you prefer to give today, we have boxes located at each exit. The Hunt, one of our biggest student events of the year, is coming up on November 6th, and you can be a part of it. From decorating, serving food, childcare, and the opportunity we think is the most fun, being what we call an informant, you can find out more information and volunteer today at reality.church/thehunt. And that's what's up next at Reality Church.
Okay, this next and final guest is an energetic Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Yeah! I like the Chiefs, sorry.
Here we go, Steelers, here we go. He was recently married, and he does his free time finishing college. Give it up for Jordy Persinger, everybody.
Hey, Jordy!
Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, Jordy, what is your role here at the church?
I'm the director of Surge, the high school ministry here at Reality Church.
Director?
Director.
So that means you get to call the shots and you get to be in charge of the teens, right?
I wouldn't really say in charge. That's more of their parents' role.
Okay. So then you lead small groups.
I wouldn't really say that either. We have small group leaders who lead their small groups for them.
So what exactly do you do around here?
That's a great question, Peter. I wonder that sometimes, too. I plan and I lead Surge, the high school ministry, and I do most of the teaching, primary teaching, every Sunday night.
Teaching them? Okay. It's like school, but on Sunday. Jordy, are you a Sunday school teacher?
No, not quite. Not quite. No, I understand that high school is such a transitional time in a person's life, in a student's life, and they're getting very pressured and pulled off into different directions. And so we just try to provide a place for them to be real and real with their relationship with God and real with other people. And so at Surge, we aim to help students understand the Word of God and build a foundation of yes. Jesus Christ in their life. And so what we try to do is we try to help them to take practical points from the Bible and taking the Bible and understanding it and putting it into their own life every day.
So I know you brought a clip with us today, right?
I did, yeah.
One? Just one?
I only brought one. I'm not as cool as Travis. Yeah. Okay. You know, I think it's the hair that makes him really cool.
Can we play the clip?
Some say these are the best years of our life. It's the phase when friendships shift, grades count and interests change so often your teen has to explain, "This is me now." High school is full of new challenges. A bigger world is out there. They have obtained more freedom. So much change, so much emotion. Your student starts to say, "Well, everyone else can," or "Nobody else has to." It's the phase when they start to ask about getting a car. Driving is the next big thing. Then they start to date, while you're wondering where the last 10 years have gone. Dances, football games, and friends fill their schedules. Add to that a part-time job and your kid's life just got a whole lot busier. Life becomes less drama, more stress. The last couple of years are all about grades, extracurricular activities, and sports. Finishing strong is a must. College is on the horizon and planning seems to be constant. You hear your student saying, "Just trust me, just trust me." The big year becomes a reality, full of ACT tests, college applications, and working hard. Every time your student talks about the next big step, it gets harder and harder to believe they are becoming an adult. It's the phase when your emerging adult pulls away, gets closer, does things for the last time, and you both start asking, "What's next?"
Man, that looks like a great, great time.
Yeah, you should stop by.
I think it was in the video, but yeah. Maybe I'll stop by.
Awkward.
But why should a high school student give out their already busy schedule? What are they missing if they don't come to Surge?
You know, I think if they miss Surge, they're missing the opportunity to be in community with other high school students who love Jesus. And most importantly, I think we have an awesome group of students in the high school. And I've worked with a couple before. A couple of groups here and there in the last couple of years, but I've never seen a group like these students. They're just real. They love Jesus, and they're ready to make him known. And they are just a lot of fun in the process. And I think if a student doesn't come to Surge, or even outside of this church, I think they're missing the opportunity to have an adult pour into their life. Our adult leaders are the best, and they do everything that they can. They pour their life into these students. They, throughout the whole week, they're pouring their lives into these students. And I think also if they miss Surge, they're missing a lot of fun too that they could add to their week. So, yeah.
Well, something just popped in my head. You don't have a son or daughter that's a teenager, do you?
In fact, I don't, no.
No?
I'm only 21, so that'd be weird.
So that means you missed the rapture as well, right?
I did miss the rapture. Yes, I did.
All right.
Then what's your experience? Why should parents trust you if you don't have a teenage son or daughter?
Yeah, I mean, I understand I'm young. I'm new to this. And if the parent is out there kind of wondering, why should we trust a 21-year-old with my high school students? I would say that I'm very passionate, and I understand something that not all youth pastors always understand, and it's that you as a parent, you are the hero in your kid's life. You are the hero in your student's life, and I want to partner with you guys. I understand that you have the most influence out of anybody in your child's life. And so I want to partner with you. I want to work with you. I want to help you to help your student. And so I also understand that this is the generation, this generation of students now is the generation that is going to impact this world tremendously. And I would love, and I do love, to pour my life into them.
Gosh, that's just so good. Well, Jordy, I want to thank you for being here on the show today.
Thank you. Yeah.
I know you brought your band with us.
I did, and I want to brag about them a little bit.
Go for
these
it.
Guys, each week, each Sunday night, we get to worship at Surge, and they are the reason why we get to worship. They put so much hard work into every single week, and they, week in and week out, I wonder, you know, these are so amazing students who work so hard, and I want to show you guys kind of what you guys don't see in the warehouse, because it's on Sunday nights, what they do. And so, Rally Student Band.
Let's hear it.
Hey everyone, please stand up and worship with us.
can have a seat. That was the student band, just in case you were wondering. Yeah, that's amazing. Such a great time here so far this morning. Hasn't this been incredible, seeing what's going on? Well, it gets better because today is one of those days. About every couple of months, we set aside a time where people who've believed in Jesus can celebrate that with us. And they can say, look, I want to let everybody know that I believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he's the Savior of the world, that he's God with skin on, that he came to do what only he could do, that not only is he who he says he is, but he can do what he says he can do. And that's this, and it's amazing. Buckle your seatbelts. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought about doing, no matter what you're going to do in the future, how ugly your past is, Jesus' grace covers all of it. That's amazing. That's amazing. When people ask me and they say, Lance, how do you know that Christianity is true of all the buffet of world religions in the world? I think my answer is always the same. I always say, wait, there's no buffet. There's two options. There's this box over here that's religion that says you can get to God if you struggle hard enough, if you do enough good things, if you really, really try hard and you do fill in all the blanks and you memorize the right stuff and you behave this way, that at the end of your life, if you've done enough good things, then God's going to look at you and be like, you did one more good thing than bad thing. And he's going to say, get on in here, you lucky dog. You did enough. And that's religion. And that's scary because a lot of people live that way and they have no clue how God feels about them. And then there's Christianity. And Christianity says this, bad news, you can't get to God. You can't do enough good stuff. That may come as a shock to you. If you're on this track, I'm telling you, you're not going to get there. Your only hope is if God comes to you. And that's exactly what he did through Jesus Christ. So today, I'm going to let you know, we're serious about this. If you've been struggling with that, and you're a believer, and you say, you know what, I believe. I don't want to be in this box of religion. I want to follow Jesus. I want to believe in him because I can't get there on my own. Then we're going to offer baptism for you. Your car will forgive you, and we've got towels, okay? Yeah, we've got people that are being baptized, but while they're doing that, if you want to just come down front here, wouldn't you guys love to see, wouldn't you celebrate with someone who just said, you know what, today's my day. I didn't know when I got up this morning that I was going to be baptized, but I want to do that. So someone will be down here to tell you everything that you should do, but I'm going to let these guys introduce themselves. Let's celebrate together their decision to follow Jesus.
My name is Chris Bell. This is my daughter, Anna. I get the honor of baptizing her today.
My name is Anna, and I want to get baptized because I want everyone to know that God is in my heart and he is my very best friend.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you, Anna.
Happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same.
I'm already choked up. I'm Lisa LaPierre, and this is my daughter, Leia, and we're a really proud family today because Leia gets to be baptized. Leia, tell everybody why you want to be baptized.
When I was young, my bio parents didn't take care of me, and we were a different religion. But when I came to this family, I realized that God was with me the whole entire time, and he was the one who kept me alive.
Leia LaPierre, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day.
pastors here at Reality Church, and this is Paige. We have been trying to get Paige baptized for 2 to 3 years, even when we were in the old building, and she's in so many extracurricular activities. Something's always coming up. But today, she thought, I'm doing it today. So I'm excited. Paige, tell everybody why you want to be baptized.
I've been more involved with the church lately, and I just feel like God called me, especially today, to just get baptized, and I want to tell everybody that I love God and that I'm ready for this life.
Paige, because you're a Christian and you want everybody in here to know about it, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same.
All right. So it's still, look, the water's still warm. Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. If that's you, I want to give you one last opportunity. Just jump up and run down here. Price is right. Well, what an amazing day. We're baptizing 8 today, by the way, that are following Jesus. This is the most fun thing that we get to do. This is it. Now, a close second is an event that's coming up called The Hunt, and I want you to watch a video about it.
The hunt is strong in my family. My father went on the hunt. I went on the hunt. You must go on the hunt too.
Looks fun. Don't you want people that will get involved in
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and again, this is for junior high to high school students. It's pretty much like a scavenger hunt meets the amazing race. You can still sign up for it, students. And if you want to be a part of it, we need a lot of help with it. So if you'd like to get in costume and be an informant or help us with some childcare, food, whatever, you can watch the video again, find more information, reality.church/thehunt.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, if you've seen all of this the way that I've seen it today, and they really kind of kept a lot of this hidden from me during the week, and I got to see this kind of for the first time today, and my first response when I see what's going on with all you guys is I want to be a part of that. I want to get involved in that. I want to be, yeah, isn't that your response too? You know, you guys can do that. You can take out your phones right now, and you can go to our serve tab on our reality.church website, and you can figure out the process for you to get involved in holding babies or leading small groups or being an informant at that's a lot of fun at the hunt. I highly recommend that because I want to play the game this year. So I want to be a driver. So, you know, go ahead and be an informant for me. So, crying out loud. So that's a way for you to do that. And I just so appreciate these guys. I get to work with them all week. You don't get to see them do their stuff, but they're amazing.
You guys are amazing. Thanks. But, you know, a lot of times, well, people say that to us. They'll thank us for, you know, putting on Joe Bro or for, you know, taking the kids to camp or something like that. But we're just three people, and there's no way that we could do, you know, student ministry here without the volunteer staff that we have. I mean, they are the people who are in the trenches, who are in the small groups, who are doing for their few what I can't do, what Jordy can't do, what Leslie can't do. You know, especially, too, like, you know, today there's no reality kids back in the warehouse, but that preschool hallway, they never get a day off. So if you got a preschool you're picking up or anyone in that hallway, make sure to say thanks to those volunteers through there. I mean, it's just incredible work, especially from our volunteers like Laura Rich, who puts in so much time to make this happen. But, you know, we say, we always want to tell people up front that serving in student ministry, it's not always easy. It's not always dodgeball and pizza. And it can be kind of, you know, really hard at times. We had one last video we want to share with you guys, kind of let you hear from our small group leaders what it's like doing what they do.
To me, the most difficult thing about serving in student ministry is just staying committed.
Unless I really know people, I have a hard time opening up to them.
Being vulnerable to the students.
The lack of attention that we get from the students sometimes.
Like trying to find that time where like you can prep every week.
I'm so introverted and shy that that's really hard for me to be extroverted and to lead students.
My biggest shortcoming is like not always being prepared enough.
I worry too much about what other people are thinking.
Getting a 12-year-old to fully understand the love that God has for them is not easy.
One thing I struggle with lately is commitment.
Sometimes I'm the fun guy, and sometimes I'm too much of the fun guy.
I wish they understood exactly how powerful he was.
I wish my students understood, one, that, you know, God's in their life and who Jesus is, but also that they don't have to be perfect.
God's grace is enough.
The gift that he gave us when he died on the cross.
I really wish the kids understood, like, truly how much Christ cares about them.
I wish that my students had a better understanding of how much God loves them.
I think I wish I was more knowledgeable in regards to, you know, the Bible and the history.
I wish I were more generous.
I wish that I was more organized as a small group leader.
I wish I could forgive easier and not hold grudges for so long.
I wish I could be less of a procrastinator.
I wish I had more patience sometimes with the kids.
I wish I had more patience.
I wish that I had more patience.
I wish I had more patience.
One thing I wish I could do better as a student leader is just reach out to them more on a weekly basis.
I wish I could be better at connecting with my students throughout the week.
I wish I had more opportunities to go see their events and be involved in their lives outside of meeting here on Wednesdays.
My favorite thing about Miss Katie is that she's nice.
Miss Katie taught me that God loves me.
What would you say to make her smile?
That I love her.
I love you, Katie.
What I like about Moody is he's just a crazy, funny dude. He, you know, he can get on your level and he can understand. I know last year at Overflow, he was one of the small group leaders, and he was getting deep with us, and we were getting deep with him. Moody, thank you for being crazy, funny, jokester all the time, also very loving and caring.
What I like about Trisha is that she has an amazing personality, and that I feel like I can tell her anything.
She always has empathy and wants to feel what you're feeling, and if you're sad, then like she'll be sad with you.
She always knows the right things to say, like, if you're feeling sad, she knows how to make your day better. If you're like in a silly mood, she knows how to like make you laugh.
The way she laughs makes everybody else want to laugh, and it's just like a really fun environment when I'm with her.
Trisha, you are one of the best group leaders I could have ever asked for, and I'm so thankful to have you in my life.
Trisha, you're the best church group leader ever, and I couldn't ask for anybody else.
Mr. Ryan is my favorite leader. Mr. Ryan taught me that Jesus loved me. Thank you, Mr. Ryan, for teaching me about Jesus. Sometimes, so when you tackle him and you run away, he chases you.
I call Mr. Ryan Mr. Fluffy Hair because he has fluffy hair.
I love you, Mr. Ryan. Thank you for teaching me about Jesus.
I love you, Mr. Ryan. For real.
One of the things I love about Olivia is she is not just teaching us about God, she is a friend.
She does stuff outside of small group, and she is always there for us at small group.
She's always happy.
She always tells us jokes, and she makes learning about God and stuff funny.
I don't know what I would do without you.
Well, you teach me about God, and you motivate me to do things that maybe I wouldn't want to do, like go to show choir in the morning.
You're really special.
Yeah, you're the best small group leader in the whole universe.
I know that Laura cares about me because every week she comes and she gives me a hug and she says hi and she asks how I'm doing. And I think she actually wants to know the answer. Sometimes there's times like I have really bad anxiety, as you know, and sometimes it's hard for me to do things, but you make me step outside of my comfort zone and you're able to encourage me to do things, and I really appreciate that.
Okay, one thing I love about Joey is he has a great sense of humor. In the Bible, when it said, like, treat others how you want to be treated, it was kind of like that. It's so true with him. And Joey, you're just an amazing guy, and you're really an angel in disguise. I'm so glad that I have you in my life and that I get to see you hopefully every week that I come here, and just every Sunday when I come to church, when I see you, when I get to sit by you, just hanging out with you and talking to you, man. I really enjoy it, really love it. Love you, bro.
Wow. So wow, I mean, there's a bunch of imperfect people, people with flaws, people that don't have it all together. And you know what they're doing? They're just making a difference forever. They're making memories every week. And they're changing lives. They're making memories and they're changing lives. Don't you want to be a part of that? That somehow, whether it's praying for them, whether it's walking down that hallway and saying thank you, whether it's getting involved, whether it's becoming a volunteer yourself and entering into what I think is the cutting edge of ministry, the front line for ministry right now is kids ministry and student ministry. That's where we make the biggest impact that we can make. So let's, as a church, get involved and stay committed to these people and to the volunteers that are serving them and become the volunteers that are serving them. And let's give it up one more time for these guys. Amazing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host for this show, Peter Vogel, and I have David Moody over here as my sidekick. Give it up for him. Woo! If you are a guest with us here today, we'll be back in the black tent. We want to welcome you, shake your hand, give you a gift from our church. Me and Moody will be there welcoming you. Also, give it up for Raleigh Student Band.